Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
Hello, from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, I just got wanted to mention a couple of things. I'm trying Apple Music. They've got like a 3 month trial going. It's remarkably mainstream. You know, when you sign up and they try to get a feel for your tastes, like nobody in my I mean, I wasn't expecting like Marianne Call and Bandmade to show up. But like, they don't even because they throw a bunch of artists names at you and like pick the ones you like. St. Vincent wasn't on there. Cake wasn't on there.
No, really? Like not even Saint Vincent or Cake?
No Bad Religion. Like the better known stuff that I'm into, not there.
Wow.
They're that fucking mainstream. I mean, they have. I have yet to find something. That I, you know, that there's, I've yet to run into something that I can find on Spotify that I can't find on Apple Music, but even their recommend, I mean, and it's new, so I don't expect their recommendations to be great, but yeah, their focus is on very, very mainstream stuff, so I don't think I'm going to be sticking with them. I'm probably going to go back to Spotify. So just a note for, anybody thinking about Apple Music, super fucking mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if that's your thing.
Also, just want to recommend a YouTube channel called Produce Like a Pro. It's all about music production, and they do this series, albums and or songs that changed music, go really deep into various albums or songs into how they were written and recorded. You know, quotes from the artist. They've had interviews with like producers who worked with. You know, the one I watched specifically, they were was the Motorhead's producer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it did really interesting deep dives on Sledgehammer and Turn It On Again, which is why I mentioned Turn It On Again on Zombie Takeout. So recommend checking that out. It gets very technical with production and music, but even if you're just a layman and a fan, it's there's a lot to be gleaned from it. Anyway, on to this week's album, which is from 1979. I almost said the year of the movie we reviewed. Look Sharp by Joe Jackson. David Ian Joe Jackson is an English musician and singer-songwriter who, along with contemporaries Elvis Costello and Graham Parker, collectively known as the Angry Young Men, served as a bridge between punk and new wave. Look Sharp is Jackson's debut album. It was released on March 5th, 1979, by A&M Records, produced by David Kirschenbaum, and features Joe Jackson on vocals, piano, and harmonica, Gary Sanford on guitar, Graham Mabey on bass, and David Houghton on drums. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our episodes for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnscotto.com, you'll find links to Look Sharp on Spotify and YouTube so you can listen along if you'd like. On to the tracks. Track one, One More Time. Love the opening riff on this one.
It's great stuff, just this punk energy to it here that, I'm more familiar with Joe Jackson, Night and Day era, which is so different from this.
Yeah,
In
he
fact, I
went.
thought that's what we were doing originally.
We yeah, there was this was a change of plans. We were going to review Big World, which is an album he did in the late 80s. I was listening to it last week, and it just doesn't age well. The lyrics, particularly, are very, very privileged, and some of the songs I know you just would have fucking despised musically. So I'm like, okay, fuck this. Let's go to his debut album, which well, spoilers, I fucking love this one. I know some singles from Day and Night. I know Steppin' Out is on that one.
Right, because we left it with like, oh yeah, which Joe Jackson were we doing? And you're like, oh, we're doing it's the one with the big singles on it. And so I was like, oh, okay, so it
I
must
don't
be
think I
Night
said
and
that because I don't think there were any big singles on Big World. You just the title Big World, I think, maybe came across as big singles. But
Day.
anyway, I'm actually, a singles aside, not familiar with Night and Day, but seeing the singles that I knew do know, yeah, very different. He, well, all three of them, all three of the Angry Young Men, kind of hated that moniker and ran away from it.
Did he though? I mean, he pretty much was like an angry guy. To
Well,
this day, it feels like he has anger
yeah, I mean,
towards everything.
in himself and in his lyrics still. I mean, his lyrics have always been very acerbic. Same thing with Costello. I mean, Costello's attitude has always been very punk.
Well, he definitely mellowed out, you know, especially we started working with Burt Bacharach in like the '90s.
And I mean, Joe Jackson had a big band period.
Yes.
He did the score for Tucker, if anybody saw that movie. That might be worth revealing. Anyway, back to One More Time. Great opening
Yes.
riff. Love the bass. That's going to be an ongoing note. Graham Mabey is one of my absolute favorite bass players. Complete genius. Love the minor chord progression. Great use of four toms in the intro and chorus. Love the melody. It's a very emotional vocal, especially in the last verse. And there's some great lead bass toward the end. It
Oh my
just,
God, he
yep.
just kills the bass, just kills with it. And it, yeah, and then towards the end, it gets even crazier. But yeah, you could definitely call this punk. I mean, if you can call the Clash punk, you could certainly call this song punk.
And a lot of this album is straightforward punk.
Yeah.
He was playing previously in a band. I don't remember the name of the band, but he referred to the band as Schmaltz.
Schmaltz.
A Jewish term. I think it's some
Right.
kind of fat.
Yeah.
But
That's why I was
very.
kind of confused.
No,
Like,
they
why?
weren't. That wasn't the name of the band, but that's
Why
just.
would he call
No, they
the
weren't called Schmaltz. That's what
band
Jackson referred to their music as. They were
Although,
poppy and kind of romantic and.
I think if I start a band, that's going to be what they're called.
I,
Scotto and the Schmaltz.
for the longest time, wanted to start a band called TOFTS. Too old for this shit.
Have pictures of Danny Glover on your album covers.
A lot of what he does on this album is a reaction to playing in that band for a long time, playing this poppy romantic shit, and then now he has his own band. He's just gonna get loud and angry. It's just a loud, angry intro to the album. On to track two, Sunday Papers.
Starts out with a little like Sam and Dave kind of thing going.
And a bit reggae.
And then it goes into reggae, yeah.
Love the groove. Great. There's a great snare roll into the in the intro. Another great bass line. Kind of fits this week's movie.
I know, we just reviewed Network on
Yeah.
Mont Zombie Takeout.
Heard,
And
yeah.
so here we are talking about the gossip
Yeah.
rags. I don't think they were quite as intense in the US as they were
Right.
in the UK back at
Right.
this
No,
point.
UK tabloids are fucking infamous.
Brutal, just brutal. And how crazy was this to release this as a single? It's a good song and all, but it's just, I mean, say, yeah, this is what people are gonna want to
Right. And it's just this snarky commentary on the tabloids. Love the yeah after the line about the gay politician. And it's just an assault on the tabloids that he'd put out as a single, which I love. Well, also love how it picks up at the end. A lot of this album, a lot of the reggae stuff on this album is very
Yeah.
Police. And it's around the same time as the Police.
Yeah, de it was definitely a trend to ha incorporate into your white music at
And
the
speaking of singles, on the track three, is she
Are you
really
gonna
going out
ask?
with him?
Are you gonna ask me?
Well, I think we agree on this one. Weakest?
Not no.
Really? Okay, that's surprising. It is my pick for weakest.
I mean, it is a knockoff. Well, not really a knockoff as much as just it's very influenced by Badfinger's No Matter What.
Okay, I don't hear a similarity, and I know that song pretty well.
It is kind of the same, progression, but I never thought of this as like a bad song.
I think it's just the lyrics that irritate me now. I used to love this song, but then I grew up and stopped being whiny and entitled. Now, granted, Jackson was in his early 20s when he did this album, so everyone's whiny and entitled at that age.
I don't know. Is it a flawed narrator, or is it really, is he really thinking that it's the guy that thinks that, well, you know, that should be me kind of thing.
Yeah. Whiny and entitled.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't, there are things I like. I love the plucky bass and the muted guitar, and you know, the groove isn't bad, but the lyrics just kill it for me.
Yeah, that groove is what I'm talking about. That is Bad Finger, who he goes back to steal on Night and Day. Someone who he's breaking us in two.
Wow.
Only he does it worse then. He does it, yeah. Like, it's really, like, that was kind of like, how did he not get sued for it? This is much more subtle, this one.
Yeah. On to track four, a bit more whining, but with much better music, Happy Loving Couples. Love the groove, love the bass. Nice drum part into the pre-chorus. Nice harmonies on the chorus. Love that spoken bit in the bridge.
Like this in track one, you totally see Ted Leo getting this. Mm-hmm. You see this at the same time as like XTC came around too.
Yeah. XTC was around this same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a similar attitude. I never thought of it. Yeah, Andy Partridge fits into that whole Angry Young Man thing perfectly.
Yeah, I did a little listening to some of their first album too. Mm-hmm. It's a lot rougher too than
later 80s
stuff.
Just when they started. They didn't calm down till English Settlement. Great episode of Produced Like a Pro about English Settlement, by the way. But I also love the sudden stuff. Right, that's enough.
It definitely got better as it got, you know, on towards the end, you know, at that breakdown of like a minute and 45 into it. And then, that's enough.
On to track five, Throw It Away. This is my pick for favorite. It was a tough call between this and another one.
But this is, this is damn close to metal. I mean, you can catch some Sabbath or Priest or AC/DC out of this.
Straight up punk. But love the aggression of this one. Love the piano steps. It's punk with piano.
Yeah, which is Sabbath, really.
Yeah, amazing bass tones. Love the spoken part during the instrumental break and the scream at the instrument. Because it's not really a guitar solo. It's just chords.
Yeah.
And this groove, but this great scream, and then there's a spoken part that I've never understood, but it just sounds great. Love the, and the first verse repeats, and I just love the drown down, 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 down that it does at one point. It's just, this is, a lot of it is very new wave. This is straight up punk, and you get how he bridged the two.
Well, I mean, you come back to Night and Day. It's like, how did he go from this whole rough sound to no guitars and trying to tell everybody that was an act of rebellion, you know, to not have guitars? And it's like, it's called synth pop, and it was rather popular at the time.
True, early 80s. I mean, we all heard way too much of Steppin' Out, and I liked that song at first.
Oh, I love that song.
On to track six, Baby Stick Around. Some great lead bass.
We need some rockabilly going here.
Nice breakup on the bass. Breakup meaning like a light distortion.
Verse sounds a lot like Sunday Papers.
Yeah. They're similar.
And then he gets to the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to say it at the same time?
What?
Let's do the time warp again.
Yeah, you're right. I never heard it before, but you're right. I'm glad this isn't one of the ones I particularly like on the album. I mean, it's not weakest, but it's just kind of there for me.
I kind of like it, honestly. Like, I'm not down with rockabilly, you know, all that much from JJ. I mean, I love Reverend Horton Heat. I love some people do rockabilly. But I was kind of like, I don't know. He's kind of did this. And then it gets to that chorus, and it's like, why wouldn't Jackson do a reboot of Rocky? I'd be down with that. That'd be pretty awesome.
And there's some great harmonies on the chorus. As far as I know, him and Graham Mabey are the only ones singing, because I've seen some live footage and that of the four of them, only two sang. But there were some great harmonies. He described some very interesting outfits in the lyrics, very 80s.
Yeah.
And there's a bass solo. I gotta love anything with a bass solo. On to track seven, Look Sharp. This is the other one from the album that everybody has heard a billion times.
Yeah.
But I love the groove.
This one's always been interesting to me because there's so much going on in this.
I love how the guitar hits only on the upbeats and the bass hits on the downbeats. That's just a great, you know, dichotomy between the two. This is early new wave, straight up.
Yes. The verse is like a sped up version of Is She Really Going Out With Him? And then you get to the build up to in this chorus that just comes from out of nowhere. And then he hits this note that you know, him, I guess it would be Graham, that they it comes from out even further out of nowhere. Just like, what the hell is this?
And there's just that just abrupt timing change on the verse. I want to say it goes calypso, but that's not exactly right. It just kind of slows down and then it goes back into that, you know, faster part.
That's like the only common thread between this album and Night and Day is when, you know, they kind of have this Latino jazz influence that kind of circles throughout just in little splashes.
And he really, you know, dove into that later in his career.
He did. He put a lot more of it in Night and Day. Yeah.
In the late 80s, he really, you know, in the early 90s, he really leaned into that too. The instrumental break on this one is interesting. Right.
I was just getting that. You get to it's almost a drum solo. And then you get almost a piano solo.
Well, the piano just plays the same three chords.
Yes, that's right.
And
right.
It just goes back and forth with the drums. And then we get the first of two kind of guitar solos.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a fascinating song. I've always loved it.
Yeah.
On to track 8, Fools in Love, the ballad. The ballad is not the most commercial song on the album, for a change.
This would be my pick for weakest, though.
Really? That's a surprise.
It's a little too watching the detectives. And then it really
I also love watching the detectives.
It just doesn't go anywhere for me.
I love the groove. I love the cynicism in the lyrics.
Could he be the first person to have rhymed hero and zero? I don't know.
No, that part's a little cringy. But
you think there's like a caveman that somehow chiseled those words on the wall?
But the second verse, fools in love slowly hold each other's hands forever. Fools in love slowly tear each other limb from limb. Love that. Just how dark and just anti-love it is. But also ends the chorus with this fool's in love again. This is the one where I have the note about the police.
Yeah.
Because those drums are very, very Stuart Copeland. Also love how big the chorus gets, and there's a nice tasteful piano solo. On to track 9, do the instant mesh. Nice rough opening guitar riff. Nice groove. Yeah.
It's like a country rock thing.
A little bit, yeah.
He's going for an eagle sound almost.
There's some subtle piano in the pre-chorus, adds a little, you know, nice timbre. Harmonica solo was kind of annoying on this one.
The first couple, the first listen, I was kind of like I don't know. But then listening to the lyrics, it all makes sense he's talking about, you know, just the horrible job and having to listen to the shitty music over and over and the prefab music. And of course you look at that and like, oh, wait a minute. He's doing the Eagles. He's doing the harmonica. He's doing all the examples of the shitty music that he's had to listen to over and over again in his day job. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. On to track 10, Pretty Girls. Now, he has gone off about this one. He's basically embarrassed by this song, about how childish the lyrics are and how derivative and unoriginal it is. It's basically about watching women.
Well, yeah. And
you know, he was, like I said, he was 23 when you know, we were this age. We weren't much more, or any more mature, let's be honest.
Right. Yeah, I mean, come on. You're telling me there's the guy that has gone through this? Yeah, you know, can you just do something to, like, stop this somehow?
Good groove, cheesy lyrics. Kind of rips off Manfred Mann, although I'm sure that was completely intentional.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, here she comes, just do a ditty. You
know? Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Total ripoff of Mann. Deliberate ripoff. But the line given.
Were they the first people to do that song? Because I thought that went.
Oh, it could have been a cover.
I thought Manfred that predated.
Okay, I didn't know that. Or I didn't remember. But, you know, so in the, one of the verses, it's there's, you know, man needs a different design. Give him a switch so he can turn off his libido now. Give him a tranquilizer built into his mind. Yeah, it's called hitting middle age.
Yeah. Hopefully. Oh, you're right. Manfred Mann did it in 64. Yeah. I just assumed Manfred Mann was around later than that.
No, they were 60s. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, it fits the age, but, it, you know, being a little older than that, it's just, I agree with Joe, the lyrics are cringy as fuck, but the music is fun.
I don't think it's cringy. It's just, it's a part of life, you know? Yeah. you get it.
And
you don't want to admit that you've done it, but you've done it.
Yeah, absolutely. I did. I mean, I hate to think of how I behaved back in the day.
Of course.
And I mean, I didn't do anything, you know, too problematic, but, you know, still. And finally, track 11, Got the Time.
My pick for strongest on this.
Very close second for me. I really had to think hard between this and Throw It Away.
I think I've heard the Anthrax version of this before I've heard his version.
Same. And I prefer Joe's version.
Yeah, Anthrax didn't do a whole lot to it.
No, they just cranked up the distortion and extended the bass solo.
Right.
But it's one of the best bass lines ever written.
Yeah.
Best lyrics on the album. Definitely can relate to. It's about not having enough time.
Yeah.
And just time. The maddening march of time, essentially. Great closer on the album. Iconic fucking bass solo. Grim, maybe. All I need to do is say, listen to this song. love the little drum fills during the solo, and the clock at the end. And this is before time. This is before Floyd.
No.
Not before Floyd, but it was before Dark Side.
No. This is after. This is 79.
When was Dark Side? I thought Dark Side was 80.
No, The Wall was 80. Dark Side was 74.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought Dark Side was 80. Okay.
73, 74.
Okay, so he was referencing Floyd, okay.
Yeah.
So do you recommend it?
Definitely, definitely. It's a fun, you know, proto-punk album.
I absolutely recommend it. I love the album. Just maybe skip the song you've heard a billion times.
I guess not proto-punk. I guess since it's post-Pistols.
Post-punk.
Proto-new wave.
Proto-new wave, definitely. Post-punk, proto-new wave.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the Jackson, Costello, and Parker get lumped into that. And they do, in terms of attitude, all fit it. But this is Joe, at least on his first couple albums, definitely fit it musically much more than Costello or Parker did. I'm not hugely familiar with Graham Parker. From what I've heard, very singer-songwriter. I know My Aim Is True very well. Costello's first album. Good album.
Of course.
Near punk. Or new wave. Yeah. It was just more the attitude. Well, he does lean into new wave with things like Radio and Watching the Detectives, but
yeah.
I think Joe Jackson was right there with Talking Heads as like a progenitor of new wave.
Oh, he does a Talking Heads knockoff on Night and Day.
Oh God.
It's pretty embarrassing. He just starts singing like this. Oh, yeah.
But you know, Byrne and Joe Jackson were kind of, you know, Talking Heads and Joe Jackson were kind of right on that edge.
Yeah.
And I think they were really they started it. Anyway, that's it for Look Sharp. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Bury the Sun by Robert Lawler, a longtime Zombie Take Out fan who is also a very talented singer-songwriter. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.